Sydney Lilburn, collections manager at Tamanua, led me through the labyrinthine passageways to the collection store, issued me with gloves, and unpacked the puzzle. It was here I began my investigation of this object, its origins, the 1924 British Empire exhibition for which it was created, and the person who donated it to Tamanua. The exhibition Puzzle of the British Empire has 150 thick pieces packed into a cardboard box. Remarkably, for something almost 100 years old, it has no pieces missing. It might be one of the very few copies left in the world. It's not too hard a puzzle by today's standards. The pieces are quite large and the shapes are distinctive. There's plenty of lettering to guide you on where to place the pieces, though you do need good close eyesight. As you solve it, you can refer to the lid of the box, which shows how the finished puzzle should look. Puzzle makers at the time tended to avoid putting a picture on the lid. They didn't want to make the solver's task too easy. It aims to teach the solver the location of all the territories making up the British Empire. To make the puzzle is to learn the empire, it says. That could sound quite demanding, but it also says, learn pleasantly. The maker wanted the puzzle to be easy and fun to solve, so that you'd learn the locations of the different countries effortlessly. Although teachers in the schools of 100 years ago could undeniably be strict, a feeling was developing that education ought to involve play, enjoyment, pleasure, and kindness. My mother, aged 8 at the time of the British Empire exhibition and with a paralysed right leg, recalled the headmaster of Invercargill South School hoisting her up onto his shoulders and piggybacking her around the playground. The person who devised the puzzle is identified as Dick Shaw, inventor. The British Empire exhibition commissioned it from a firm called the Thames Engraving Company. Their office and workshop had its address at 111 Shoe Lane, London. You could walk to Shoe Lane from St. Paul's Cathedral, the heart of the British Empire, in about 15 minutes. 100 years ago, it was a rabbit warren of little printing, engraving, and commercial art premises. So far, I have not succeeded in tracing either Mr. Shaw or the company. Maybe the company was short-lived and Mr. Shaw sought other pursuits. Whatever his identity, we can see, looking closely at the puzzle, what an ingenious fellow Dick Shaw was. There are 150 pieces, because that was the number of recognised British possessions in 1924. There are 9 extra pieces that fit with the others, spelling out Dick Shaw's name. This is highly unusual. Usually there's just an artist's signature written or painted near the bottom. Dick Shaw, besides calling himself the inventor, states that a patent has been applied for, yet patents are only granted for original inventions. To qualify for a patent, Dick Shaw would have had to come up with something completely new in puzzle wizardry. The concept of turning a map into a puzzle was a very old idea. It goes back to an 18th century English tradesman called John Spilsbury. His concept was to mount a paper map of the world on wood and then cut out the countries with a small saw. Each country was a separate piece, although probably the oceans were just one large piece, as it would be too difficult to cut out all the islands as separate pieces. Dick Shaw's application must have related to some other aspect of this puzzle. We talk of jigsaw puzzles from the type of saw that started to be used in the 1880s to cut the pieces, but it would have been a fiddly job, especially the small letters. There'd be every chance of leaving rough edges or tearing the paper. Instead, I think Dick Shaw used a device like a cookie cutter with very sharp edges, or, more precisely, like 159 small cookie cutters assembled within a metal grid, each in the shape of one of the pieces of the puzzle. The grid would be placed over the thin plywood and clamped down tight. This would force the sharp edges right through the plywood, stamping out the pieces. But this cookie cutter device had been invented before Dick Shaw came along. More likely, what Dick Shaw wanted to patent was the concept of including small letters spelling his name. Unfortunately for him, a man named Theodore Bamberg was granted an American patent for small letter pieces in 1917, just 7 years earlier than our friend Dick Shaw. Patent number is US 1256100A, and you can find it online at Google Patents. The patent office will have noted Mr. Bamberg's prior art and declined Dick Shaw's application. No particular disgrace, this happens to would-be inventors all the time. Even Thomas Edison had to fight to retain his patent for the electric light bulb. Let's now get out our virtual magnifying glasses and take a close look at the puzzle. The two larger photographs at either side show King George V and Queen Mary respectively. These cameo portraits were taken by society photographer Alexander Bassano. You can see his surname to one side of the cameos. He occupied a grand studio in Bond Street, an altogether smarter part of London than Shoe Lane. Between the King and Queen and a smaller cameo, you can see a man wearing a cap. This is Prince Edward, who would become King Edward VIII upon George's death in 1936. The name Van Dyck in Edward's cameo denotes the photographer Carl Van Dyck. From 1882, he owned a studio at Gloucester Road in London. Like Bassano, he took photos of the British royal family. His company merged with Bassano's in the 1930s to form what became the photographic studio for top people in British society. The lettering at the top of the puzzle states proudly that the sun never sets on the British Empire. This was literally true, since the Empire had possessions all around the globe, but in a metaphorical sense, the Empire did indeed have its sunset. Historians argue about precisely when that sunset occurred, when India received its independence in 1947, when British possessions in Africa were decolonized in the 1960s, or when Hong Kong was returned to China in 1997. At the base of the puzzle is a lion, the symbol of Britain and the Empire, and also the logo for the British Empire exhibition. In the map, the possessions of the British Empire are picked out in red. Some are mere specks of islands, making it not difficult to arrive at the tally of 150. The map is centred on Britain. From our point of view in Aotearoa, it's nice that it has been designed so that we in Australia are grouped together. On many other world maps of the time, our two countries are shown at the extreme right and left respectively, and on some maps, New Zealand disappears altogether. Dick Shaw clearly felt that if children were really going to learn the Empire, they needed to take in yet more information. So in addition to the puzzle, the box contains a paper insert filled with facts about the Empire. It's filled with such edifying information as the area of the Empire, its population, and the goods it exported. Oddly, it lists coffee among New Zealand's exports, a crop not grown here in 1924, let alone exported, while omitting wool, our second highest export earner. So although the puzzle wants you to learn about the Empire, it got a few things wrong relating to us.